time for the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and Bible teacher, Jeff Kinley.
All right, it is 2020. Can you believe that? I mean, I didn't think we would make it this far. And I don't know how much further we're going to make it in this planet, in this world, in this country, in this culture, in society that we're in. 2020. I mean, that just sounds weird. And it's going to be weird just saying it here in the next year, but a little bit of an adjustment, but that's okay. It's a brand new decade, and with a brand new day and decade, it gives us as believers in Jesus Christ just another opportunity to live our life for Him. I mean, to be out there in the world and to penetrate society and to do what He has called us to do, which is to be salt and light. And in order for us to effectively do that, obviously, we have to be equipped. We have to be armored up. We have to have our battle armor on and our minds girded in such a way that we can take on what the world sends to us. You know, the armor of God in Ephesians 6, I won't go into it, but is the helmet of salvation, you know, our loins girded with the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness and the sword of the Spirit. So anyway, there's a lot of that we need. And I think part of what God is doing through this little podcast is helping people to put their armor on so they can face the day. And I'm very excited about this podcast. It's podcast 210. That's right, 210 episodes of the Vintage Truth Podcast. And 125% of the praise goes to God for that, because He's the one that's doing this. He's the one that's spreading the message. He's the one that is really firing up believers to come on board with this thing to say, hey, Jeff, I want to help you in producing this podcast and in promoting this podcast into getting this word out to the nations. And several of you have come alongside me to help me do that. And, you know, I don't even know how to say thank you to my brothers and my sisters in Jesus Christ who have the same vision that I do. Who want to reach the world with the gospel of Christ and who want to also wake up the bride of Christ so that she can do what she's been called to do in this world. So thank you so very much for those of you who have given financially to this ministry, those of you who pray for this ministry, and others of you who are encouragers to me and to this ministry as well. It means a great deal to me. It is not lost on me. So every word of encouragement, every dollar that you give, trust me, there's bang for your buck and there's impact for your words in my life. So thank you. And as we begin this new year together and this new decade even, man, there's just so much opportunity that we have. And I want us to take advantage of that as much as we can. So with that in mind, I want to kick off the new decade with a podcast entitled Seven Reasons Why the Book of Revelation is Caffeine for Your Soul. You know, sometimes we need a burst. We need kind of a boost and a burst in the morning. You know, some of you guys may be coffee drinkers. Some of you are tea drinkers. Some of you don't drink anything in the morning. I'm a coffee guy myself. And that caffeine is just part of my daily ritual. You know, when one of my sons was in high school, his class went out to this coffee shop and to discuss something they were doing in their class or whatever. So they kind of went off campus for it. And they went to this coffee shop and my son ordered a quadruple shot of espresso and then just basically just drank it right there. And he was pinging off the walls for about the next 3 or 4 hours there with this quadruple shot of espresso. Well, listen, that is exactly what the Book of Revelation is. It's like a quad shot of espresso to the soul, man. I mean, it dilates our pupils. It stimulates our heart and it motivates our wills to be and to do something for Jesus Christ. So I want to dive into this and give you these seven reasons for why this book is like a caffeine shot to your soul and it'll keep you awake. And it's all right there in the Word. It's all right there in the book there. And here's the first one, which is kind of obvious. But, you know, we don't hear people talking about this thing right here, this idea that I'm about to share with you, but it's true. And here it is. The number one reason is because Revelation is the last message God ever gave to the church. It's the last written message in the entire Bible. And if you think about it, God could have ended the scripture any way he wanted to. Duh, he's the author. You know, when I write books, I end the book the way I want to. God's the author of the Bible, ended it whatever way he wanted to, and he chose of all the things he could do. He could do, you know, let's rehash the Psalms. Let's talk about the Lord is my shepherd. Let's talk about Ephesians. Let's talk about, you know, being chosen in Christ. Let's talk about Colossians. Let's talk about, you know, all this other stuff. He could do anything, but he chose the prophetic book of Revelation. And so because it is his last word, you know, last words are lasting words. And because it's God's last word, then it has a sense of preeminence, because it essentially is the exclamation point, not the comma, not the period, not the sigh. It's the exclamation point of the entire Bible and of the entire New Testament. The Old Testament tells us, in a nutshell, someone is coming. The New Testament tells us someone has come, and then Revelation tells us someone is coming again. So it's the exclamation point. So God chose this content to give to us as his last message. In other words, pay special, close attention to this, because it's the last thing I'm going to tell you until you see me again in the clouds. All right? You know, so many people talk about getting words from God and making up stuff that God's told them. Let me tell you something. God's word is right here. It's in Revelation. It's in the New Testament. It's in the Old Testament. God's not giving out new truth to give to the body of Christ. It's already all there in the scripture, the sufficiency of scripture. So number one, it's a caffeine shot to the soul because it's the last message that God ever gave in written form to the church. Secondly, the second reason is because of the blessings that we get as a result of going through the book of Revelation. Most Christians that I talk to are simply scared to touch Revelation. They're scared to get in there. And that's because of, I think, you know, fake news about what Revelation's really all about. They're scared about the judgments. They don't know how they would understand it, you know, if they were to get into it. But listen to what the Bible never says anything like that. The Bible never says, now be careful as you go into this book, because you're probably not going to understand anything in it. It doesn't say anything like that. The name of the book is Revelation. Duh. I mean, it's apocalypsis in the Greek, and it means to reveal. It doesn't mean to hide. It means to reveal. And so God is revealing something in Revelation. But anyway, the point here is that the second reason it's a caffeine shot at the soul is because it's a blessing. It says in verse 3, blessed, makarios, happy, is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it. So there are three things he says. Those who read it, those who hear the words of the prophecy, that would be it being taught or spoken about, and then who heed or obey the things that are written in it. So there are things in Revelation that there's information God wants us to read. There's hearing the words. That's the understanding of God's word in Revelation. That's the illumination of it. And then thirdly is the heeding of it or the obeying of it. That's really the application of it in our lives. So Revelation is for information, and that's where a lot of people stop. They just like facts, you know, oh, how are the judgments lined up? What's going to happen then? Here's the chronology. Here's the timeline. Yeah, there's there, but you don't stop there. The second thing is the illumination or understanding, the interpretation of Revelation. And you do that when you study it. And when you study it with people who understand it, who have studied it ahead of you, the giants of the faith. And then thirdly, you are able to obey it. There are many things in Revelation that we are to obey. And it even begins that way in chapters 2 and 3. But anyway, there's a blessing. And that's the second reason why it ought to be a caffeine shot to our soul is, hey, there's a blessing waiting for us. Why wouldn't you go do that? Why wouldn't you go get a part of that blessing? Third reason, it says it in verse 3. The third reason why Revelation is a caffeine shot to the soul is because it says the reason you should read it is to get these blessings. It says for, that's an explanatory word in the Greek, for the time is near. The time is near. You see, when Jesus gave this revelation, he told John the time is near. In other words, there's a close proximity of the events of Revelation that are going to happen in relationship to John's time. And even in 1 John, the same author here, when he wrote 1 John chapter 2, he says, Antichrist is coming, and Antichrists have already come. And so we're in the last days. The last days officially are from the beginning of the church to whenever Christ comes back and the book of Revelation's events are fulfilled. That's the last day. So we've been in the last days for 2,000 years. So in God's perspective, yes, it's very near. But if it was near in 95 AD when this was written, don't you think it's even more near now? I mean, if this book were to be written today, he may say, for the time is nearer than it was before. So the reason why this should wake us up is because we are living in the last days and the time is near. And my friends, if you pay attention to what's happening in your world right now and what's going on in Israel, you will know, yes, the time is near. Now, we don't project dates. But we don't say next year this or in 3 years that. We say at any time. That's what we say because that's what the Lord says. Because his return for his church is imminent. It could happen at any time. But the time is near. So we're living in the last days. And that's a reason why we should pay attention. So number four is that because the book of Revelation was written to churches. Revelation wasn't written to the world. Did you know that? The Bible wasn't written to the world. It was written to believers, written to the Jewish people. And in the New Testament, it was written to believers, to churches specifically. And you know, if you want to be really a part of what the Bible is saying, you don't just pick up the Bible on your own. You need to be a part of a local church because the Bible is written to churches. And the you, when the Bible talks about you in there, it's talking about you corporately, you people, you group of believers in this particular church. It says in verse 4, John, to the seven churches that are in Asia. Seven churches. So these were specific churches that I believe are illustrative or emblematic of really churches throughout history, but specifically types of churches in all times. And if you go through chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation and allow these characteristics to rise to the surface there, five of the seven churches that are in gross error and heresy and apostasy and immorality, and then two of the churches that Jesus gave commendations to, you'll see that they really do represent churches today. You can go, oh, okay, that describes that church over there. Oh, this one, the church at Laodicea, oh, that's that church over there. It's really easy to see. So the reason why it ought to wake us up is because it was written to us. It was written to us. I mean, it's like a letter written to you and to your church, which is why you must wake up and pay attention to it. That is reason number four. Reason number five is because of who actually gives the message of the book of Revelation. It says in verse four, it says, John, who's doing the actual writing here, but it says verse five, and from Jesus Christ. And from Jesus Christ. This is a message directly from God. This is not John's interpretation of anything. This is actually given through an angel from Jesus Christ to the churches. And I don't have time at the moment to go into a full explanation of how Jesus Christ is described in this. But let me tell you something. If you want to absolutely have your soul rocked, then I want to encourage you to read Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, and then just go over there and read chapter 1, verse 12 through 20, through 12 through 20. And here's what you're going to find, is that you're going to be exposed to a high-definition 4K view of the resurrected, glorified Jesus Christ. The reason most people don't worship in churches is because they're not being shown Christ. We're just being shown, we're just being talked about feelings. You know, we come to church, we sing about our feelings. Well, guess what? I'm probably not feeling what you're feeling, so I'm not really into this song right now. You're telling me I should feel this way about God, but I'm not really feeling that right now. Won't you tell me who God is? You tell me who God is, and every single human in that auditorium is going to be riveted to the person of Jesus Christ. And there'll be the appropriate response in their heart when that's done. And that's exactly what happens in Revelation chapter 1. In fact, I mean, I'm not going to go into the whole thing. Just read it. Trust me. Make it your devotion for the next 2 or 3 days. And once John sees this Christ, do you know what John's response was? It says in verse 17 of chapter 1, he says, "When I saw him, the Christ that has just been described in the previous verses, he said, I fell at his feet as a dead man." As a dead man. The vision of Jesus Christ that is given in the book of Revelation is so traumatic to the human mind and to the human heart and soul that it literally affects our entire person. So much so that for John, he didn't just go, wow, you know, or he didn't just, you know, respond with some emotion stuff. He literally physically fell on his face as a dead person. It traumatized him. And when you understand, when you see the resurrected, glorified Christ as described in Scripture, not someone else's imagination or their supposed trip to heaven, but what the Bible says, you know what happens? You're impacted, and you're never the same. So I encourage you to do that. So the reason why this is a shot of caffeine, and this is really, to be honest, the biggest shot of espresso, spiritual espresso that we get in the whole book of Revelation, to me, is the vision of Christ. And it gets wild as you go on. There are other shots, you know, that we get to our souls. But man, it begins this way. Revelation begins by waking believers through a vision of the true Christ. Okay, I'm going to move on here. Number six, the reason why Revelation is a quad shot of espresso and caffeine to the soul is because Christ is going to return. I mean, he says that in chapter 1, verse 7. It says, "Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him." And this particular verse here is speaking about Revelation 19 when Christ comes back at his second coming. And somehow supernaturally, either by worldwide broadcast, we don't know how it's going to happen, but we do know the Bible says every eye will see him. And what's even crazier about that is that when you get to the end of the book of Revelation, you see Christ repeating something over and over again. And here is this phrase that he repeats in chapter 22 and verse 7. He says this, "And behold, I'm coming quickly." In other words, he said, you know, don't fall asleep like those disciples did in the Garden of Gethsemane, because I'm coming back quickly. He says in verse 12, "Behold, I am coming quickly. My reward is with me to render to every man according to what he's done." And then he says again, in verse 20, this is the second to last verse of the entire Bible. He says, "Yes, I am coming quickly." I mean, how many times does Jesus have to tell us that before we'll finally just wake up one day and go, "Hey, the Lord could come back. He is going to come back. He's going to return. He's going to return at the rapture, and then he's going to return at the second coming." It's really kind of a two-part deal. But he's going to come back. The fact that Christ is coming back, even regardless, whether you believe it's pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, even if you don't know what you believe on that, the fact that he is coming back ought to be enough to wake us all up and to have that stimulant to our souls. That's the sixth reason. And then the seventh reason why Revelation ought to wake us up as believers and our churches is because we care about people. We care about others. We want other people to know this. We want people to understand what Revelation is about, not just for some apocalyptic, taste buds to be fulfilled. You know, it's like it just, our curiosity is satisfied because we have a timeline or we want to talk about things. That's fine because there's a lot of curiosity. There's a lot of sensationalism in the book of Revelation. There are a lot of crazy things that happen, a lot of dark stuff that happens too. But here's the point. The bottom line is for the church, as it relates to the world, is because we really care about people. Look, I don't want my friends. I don't want people that I know or people that are associated with me in various forms. I don't want them to go through this horrible time of judgment that God is about to unleash on planet Earth at some point in the perhaps near future. I don't want them to experience that. I'd rather them to experience salvation through Jesus Christ and deliverance from the wrath that is to come, as 1 Thessalonians tells us that we're delivered from. And I want them to experience that, and also just to know Jesus and to experience the forgiveness and the love that he offers them. And so, man, as you read through Revelation, you cannot go through this book without coming to the conclusion that you're motivated now, more motivated, to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ so they don't experience the wrath that is coming in the Revelation period, but also the wrath that's coming in eternal damnation. So those are seven incredible reasons why the book Revelation is like a quad shot, a double quad shot of espresso to our souls. Hey, listen, I hope that helps you. Hope that really encourages you. Have a fantastic week, and I'll talk to you again next time.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.